listening to 90.1 FM, KPFT Houston. Next up, Technology Bites.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
Greetings and welcome to Technology Bites.
All right, welcome to the show. And man down.
It's not me this time.
Not you, not Barrett. Were you here? Yeah, Barrett was here.
I show up during fundraisers.
This was the first fundraiser I'd missed.
It
really was. It was the first one.
Yeah. Might be true.
It's true. I make sure to always be here for the bad stuff so that, like, I can, you know, take other times off without engendering complaints.
I figured you just got your schedule wonked out. Crud. Yeah. I'm willing to miss my flight to not be there.
I was about to say, the only thing second to fundraising in terms of horror is being stuck at airports and getting kicked off flights.
Fortunately, we were in the lounge and the booze was free.
I was trying to conjure up some sympathy here.
I just killed it all.
Got no sympathy for Lee.
That's right.
It's wasted. Or Lee's wasted or something.
Not presently.
God, this is just...
I heard Flicted was hunting.
Did you have any luck, Flicted? Finding the Mac Mini? It's Mac season.
Yep.
Excellent.
Were you able to reboot it?
Yep.
So now we're just waiting?
Yep.
So Pete is having trouble to connect it to our... Lord, my phone is just... ding, ding, ding.
Stop being so popular, Jay.
I'm not popular. This is just Pete explaining...
That's why I have mine on vibrate.
Frantically texting me to tell me he can't
because I'm a professional.
Like that sign says, please mute all phones before entering studio.
Oh come on. Don't try to... bring us down with your rules, man. I got a special message for the FCC.
Hit it, Jay.
Say your message, man. Come on.
Hit it, Jay.
Come on, Jay.
DJ
Jay. Flo.
And Eddie.
All right, I guess that was that.
That was that. I couldn't rise to the challenge.
Are you still reeling over the ramifications of last episode of Mr. Robot, as am I.
Oh, my God. I just, you know, I feel like we should have just a discussion forum about the last episode of Mr. Robot. Ah, hello.
Somebody calling.
Hello.
Avon.
Hey, now.
Landshark.
Technology Bites, you're on the air. No peek.
Any spyware issues we can help with?
Apparently, the spyware has taken down my Mac Mini.
Perfect show.
There he is.
Hey! Full house!
Woohoo!
Welcome to Technology Bites, everybody. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Lee.
And he's
Groove House.
I had to get in there quick so that you didn't say Groove House without me.
And we're going
to
start the 32-minute countdown later, because we've actually got an anomaly now, so we can actually see if Pete drops out around 32 or if it's pushed to, like, you know, closer 37. To 39, 37.
Yeah. In a row?
Well, that too, but it will always increment by one, at least. No, you know, if, for those playing along at home, the connection that usually works at the beginning, it fails at about 32 minutes.
Sometimes 32 minutes, 32 seconds. Fairly consistently.
Fairly consistently, Pete will be, you know, yammering on about some technology thing or another.
Blah, 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 news, blah.
And then next thing you know, it's just dead air.
Right into a wormhole.
Right. So now that we had technical difficulties early, his arrival through the tubes and the wormhole has been delayed by about 5 minutes.
So Pete notices no loss of time either. His solo is watches 6 seconds slower at the end of each show.
Wow.
We're trying to figure this out. There's a physicist out there.
It's heavy, man.
Dude.
It's like Interstellar, but interesting.
But watchable.
And with pace. I finally watched that. And
such a great trailer and such a disappointing movie.
And yeah, I'm amazed that people kept the secret of how slow and dull it was.
Yeah.
And then the lame fourth act. I mean, the kind of at the end they just kind of were like, okay, we got to
connect
this up somehow, and they did. You know, I figured I'd keep it. I'm keeping it vague on purpose.
No, I know.
It was all a dream.
There was a leaked version of the script that had floated around on the internet for a couple of years that I read probably, I don't know, 8 or 9 months before I saw the movie. And the leaked version of the script, again, not to get into spoilers or anything, was actually a lot more coherent than one ended up on the screen. I don't know what the rewrites did and why they did them, but it was actually a lot better.
Did it feel like it was rewrites, or do you think that it just fell apart on the editing room floor?
No, it was definitely rewrites. It was definitely rewrites. It was not.
So they changed the whole Deus Ex Machina was completely different.
It was sort of let's just say that it was the revelation about, like, the wormhole people and all that was done a lot better, in my opinion, in the draft than it was in the version that we saw in film.
Okay, since we're going to start off the show tonight talking about space movies, I mean, I'm totally okay with that, space movies. So, Interstellar, thumbs down.
Not so great.
Yeah.
Rotten Tomatoes. The Martian.
Excellent.
Excellent film.
Seriously good, yes.
Very, very, very good.
Good.
Yeah?
Pretty good. Yeah, like
have you seen it?
No. I saw it.
There are a couple things.
What?
Oh. Yeah, Flicted, actually. He may be the only rocket scientist here, so.
What?
Well, Flicted may be an actual rocket scientist, but I got to go and interview Ridley Scott for that movie. That was pretty cool.
In space, no one can hear the noises that come over.
Don't you mean Jason Bateman?
No. Yes. Wait.
All right. So, yeah, I enjoyed The Martian. I didn't care for Interstellar.
No. What else was there?
What other space movies sucked?
We're all out. We're all out of space.
We don't have to be just this year.
I found Guardians of the Galaxy to be very, very realistic.
I didn't watch that.
It was pretty sure it was based on a true story.
Yeah, I think it was. Although, yeah, it's been a couple of years. It's getting kind of stale.
Truthfully, I liked Guardians of the Galaxy. I went into it not expecting to like it. I went into it thinking it was going to be terrible. It was great. I've rewatched it a couple of times, and My wife watched it with me. She thought it was good, and she normally hates those kind of movies, and it was really fun.
Well, I watched I recently watched Barbarella for the first time.
Classic.
Wow. Whoa. So how was that watching
Barbarella, it? Psychedella.
40 years later?
Let the dogs out.
It was not that good.
No. I mean, it was... So let me tell you when Barbarella is excellent. Barbarella is excellent when you're like 10 and it comes on HBO on a Saturday, like in the middle of summer. Then it's like the greatest movie ever.
I mean, not that there weren't like interesting things at various points in time in the movie, but yeah, it felt very kind of just like disjointed.
Oh my God! The dogs! Okay.
Ah! It felt kind of disjointed and like some stuff just didn't really make sense. Like, but the thing is, a lot of the movies from the late 60s and the 70s were a lot of them were like that.
They were never intended to be viewed sober.
No.
Pete's Dogs, I think, would like to say that the scene with the dogs pulling the sled, very realistic.
Zardoz.
I never saw that. I haven't watched
You know
that
what?
Yet.
That's a movie right there.
I did watch the trailer for it, though. Yeah. But I've never watched the actual movie.
It's kind of like if Time Bandits was serious. Just don't. Actually, there is.
Yeah,
a,
you'd
I'd
think
have to
a
go.
Movie that had the Orgasmatron in it would be better. But
there is an. I read a great takedown of Zardoz. I'd have to go find it.
Send the dog to get it.
Pete, are you broadcasting from the San Antonio Humane Society this evening?
It's Adopt-a-Pet Week.
Is it? Are we bidding for the pets?
If you pledge now, you can have Pete's dog.
Pledge for Pete's dog.
For Pete's dog. All right, so we're going to... If the dogs can behave themselves, we'll put Pete back on the air.
Hopefully.
Don't those dogs have something to do? Isn't there a yard to protect or something?
And why is Jay Lee in your bedroom?
Yeah, turn your phone down when you're on the radio, sir.
See, Jay doesn't mute his phone. The whole show just goes downhill.
All right. Well, I know that we've got some good stuff to talk about tonight. Let me let you know that you can visit us online at www.geekradio.com. That's the website. We have links to all the important stuff there. You can also find your way to the kpft.org live stream if you want to listen to us over the interwebs. We have that available. Also, we hang out somewhat, sometimes sporadically, in IRC on irc.cuckoo.com in the channel Tech Bytes.
Tech Bytes. Oh, it's learning.
The artificial groove house intelligence is evolving.
We gave him more RAM.
All right. So, yeah, you can hang out with there. You can use the contact form on the website to send us hate mail, whatever you like. It's all available to you. And I'm going to see how Pete handles the info shot tonight, since I know that there's a lot of news happened today.
It did.
But the info shot's the wrong section for it.
I know. It's
news, when, so I put it first.
When worlds collide, I just hate to see one segment drain the other. When the one segment that needed so much no draining has finally gotten an infusion.
don't take a bite out of the apple.
The best part about all this, this is tangential to the news, but
tangential.
That's a word, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
Cromulent.
T-A-L.
Perfectly. Tangential. Cosine gentle. Anyway. It ties in with the news is that so Apple. I didn't realize this because I use Twitter constantly. Twitter is kind of part of my day. Well,
use
and
Twitter
you know,
much?
Yeah. I mean, it's as a tech journalist, which I guess I am professionally. I mean, they pay me anyway. Twitter is a huge source of news, and
they
use
pay
it
them
to,
in retweets.
They pay me with something. Twitter's a huge part of my day, and I didn't realize it, but Apple. Did not have until Apple has a Twitter account, but Apple doesn't use its Twitter account. It has, if you go to twitter.com/Apple, you can see they have, unless they have, let me see, Apple, Twitter, twitter.com, Apple. When I checked this earlier today, yeah, they still have no tweets. It's a verified account. It's been around since September 2011, but there's no tweets on it. And earlier today, at the iPhone 7 launch event, which Pete is going to, I'm sure, get into shortly here and tell you about all the fancy stuff that happened, Apple's Twitter account tweeted for the first time, and they put out, it was either three or four tweets about the here's the new iPhone, it's so amazing, you know, whatever, pre-order here, blah, blah, blah. But the social media person behind the Apple account, whoever this anonymous Apple person is, pulled the trigger on these tweets right at the very beginning of the event. And this was like a two-hour reveal, and it started off with talking about Apple Music and talking about the watch and blah, blah. And like, boom, right away, as soon as Tim Cook gets on stage, like these three tweets about like, here's the new iPhone, boom, show up. And like, and it's got everything in the tweets. It undercuts everybody in the entire room. Everybody freaks out because, you know, all the journalists, we have, you know, all these articles pre-written based on rumors and everything that we've heard. We don't have anything official. It's all kind of waiting on Tim Cook to say something. And then Apple, like, sprays out these tweets that are clearly were early and shouldn't have been tweeted because Tim Cook hadn't gotten to that point in the presentation yet. And then, boom, immediately, like, deletes them after they had tweeted them out. And it was, I was just trying to imagine what the fallout from something like that would have been during the Steve Jobs era if an Apple employee had, like, blown the presentation and tweeted out, like, you know, the main thing in the presentation, like, 90 minutes early before they got to it. Because it was a two-hour event. I don't know who it was. You know, Apple doesn't typically expose, like, their internals like that, so we have no idea which Apple employee or group of employees it was, but I wonder if there's still Apple employees this evening.
Wasn't there a leak the day before on like some headphone stuff?
There were tons.
And they accidentally listed
there were
iPhone
tons
7
of
and 7S.
Amazon launched its iPhone 7 accessory page like about 15 minutes before the presentation too. I mean, stuff sort of trickled out, but it's so different now from how it used to be. Because I can imagine like Steve Jobs would have found that person and killed them like Braveheart style.
No one's afraid of not waking up to a knock on the door from the man in the black turtleneck. That's not going to happen. So no. The enforcer's
I think that would have been the most interesting one more thing at the end of the...
Oh, one more thing. Can my social media team walk up here on stage, please? That's it. All of you guys come up here and like shoot.
Five less things.
Jeez. So that was a little bit exciting today.
Is anyone on IRC? Or am I the only one that cannot connect?
I can't connect either. It's weird. Hmm. I'm trying to connect, and it won't let me connect.
Sorry, IRC.
There will be no show within a show tonight.
One show only.
one show, that's
one
it.
One thing only.
Is it because it's blocked or something?
Did we get ourselves kicked out of our own IRC channel? Actually, I can't hit the server. It's looking up the DNS, but I get no further. I get no handshake
is
on
it...
6666 or 6667.
Can you... Oh, all right.
It's dead.
Can you dig? Can you dig from a different server? You dig it from Google.
Let me try from some other place. Just
dig it from the Google.
The internet has some traffic issues.
Dig, for those of you not in the know, is not in this case 60 slang. We're actually talking about the DNS lookup tool.
Although I do dig, dig.
You do dig, 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 dig the IRC.
Dig, dig.
Do you dig it? Do you dig it, Daddy-O?
Daddy-O needs to be a program.
It should be. That's
like your Daddy-O.
Who is your daddy-o?
Who is your daddy-o? It's like a flag you can put on the end of
who
is.
We're doing that. We're finding out who is.
Well, I am now connected to my iPhone, and I still can't connect, so I don't think it's just the internet here.
Womp, womp.
What the heck is wrong with our IRC server?
Well,
I announced it and everything.
Let's do live troubleshooting.
All right. Let's just
walk the audience through how you troubleshoot a downed IRC server.
Does anyone know where the IRC server physically is?
Where's that confounded server?
It's in Jay's house.
Actually, it belongs to somebody who will remain nameless and is part of another company that should also remain nameless.
Chasehouse.com?
Who's your bodiddly.com? All right, well, let's do this. While we're struggling to get on the IRC, we'll let Pete struggle to...
The whole thing is down. It's downity down.
The whole server?
Yeah, the whole server. It's not on the internet.
Isn't the website on that server, too, though?
Yeah, I mean, the whole host
is
gone.
This is actually run by a friend of mine.
Oh.
It's not part of our setup.
Yeah, hence the whole cuckoo.com thing.
Oh, that would make sense.
Yeah.
We could go, if people wanted to, and if they're listening, so this will be a test of how few people are listening. We could hop into freenode.net and pound tech bytes.
And how many people use IRC, which is a small number
anyway.
Yeah,
it's even a smaller number. So this Venn diagram got really small suddenly.
We should set up a Slack. We should do like the TechBytes Slack instead.
I'm going to message one of the admins right now on his Facebook since I can't get to him via IRC.
All the cool kids use Slack these days.
All right, well, why don't we go to San Antonio and do the Technology Bites InfoShot? Take it away, InfoShot. Take it away!
It's the Technology Bites InfoShot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
Just to keep it all in sync, sort of, for you at home. Oh, come on.
Bite.
All right. Well, as was mentioned, the big Apple event was today, and not a lot of shockers. I don't believe there were really any shockers as far as things that hadn't already been kind of rumored and all that. The main thing is sorting out what rumors came true and what ones didn't. The biggest thing is they announced the next generation watch, which we'll talk about in a minute, the Series 2 watch, Apple Watch, and then the iPhone 7, which, you know, there was the whole back and forth about what the name was going to be, which kind of got clear a few days ago, I believe. So, yeah, it's going to be the iPhone 7 and the iPhone 7 Plus. The big details that you would really want to know if you're interested is the release date. Apparently, it's going to be available in an Apple store and anywhere else on Friday, September the 16th. So that's fairly quick, and that's what everybody was thinking. Pre-orders begin this Friday, so that's pretty quick. The deal is, let's see, the iPhone 7 is going to cost the same as the iPhone 6S, so it starts at about $650 for the smaller one. I guess it's the medium size since the SE is the smallest. One of the things that's happened is the low-end configuration is now 32 gigabytes. So instead of they've dumped the whole 16 gigabyte minimum size, and they start at 32 gigs, both on the regular iPhone 7 and the iPhone 7 Plus. The iPhone 7 Plus starts at $770 or so. The highest storage configuration for both of them is 256 gigs. So that, you know, if you buy one, that should mean that you have plenty of room for your stuff, I would hope. You know, good chunk of your music collection, video, whatever. But, you know, and then the one that everybody was waiting with bated breath, or I don't know, not waiting, or just being jerks, or being excited about it, whatever, was the headphone jack. Would there be one, or wouldn't there? And there is no headphone jack. The thing is, it is going to come with, each phone is going to come with a pair of earbuds that plug right into the Lightning port. And so that's cool. And then there's also going to be an adapter for your existing headphones. So there's basically this little Lightning to audio, you know, regular audio plug-in adapter that you can carry around with you if you'd like to do it. So that way it shuts up anybody about the you know, anybody who wants to whine about, you know, not having the plug, you know, having to use the lightning plug. So it shuts that up and lets them use their other stuff. I'm guessing part of that would be the people who, oh, for instance, fly a lot and want to use their, you know, their Bose plug them in headphones. It would kind of torque them off if there was no way for them to plug those into their phones. And I think that, and based on whenever if you've flown and looked around, I think you'd find there's a large population of people who that would affect, and they tend to be the guys with high frequent flyer miles and high disposable incomes, and ladies as well. So anyways, the other thing with associated with the phones is they announced AirPods, wireless AirPods, which are dirigibles that you can live in. They've got air. No, it's they're actually. It looks like if you took a set of regular Apple iPhone earbuds and just cut the wires off. If you've seen any of the ones that don't have a wire that connects, there's not even a wire that connects the two buds that, you know, usually go in your ear, like a lot of, you know, like is the most common thing right now as far as Bluetooth goes. It has the little they're individual, but they have the kind of little stick part that sticks past the buds that normally, you know, connects up to the wires. And they have stuff in there that, like, so that you can, you know, tap them to talk to Siri, and apparently they have about 5 hours of talk time, and then the case has the charger, much like I think Samsung had announced some, and there's some others that there's some others that are out there, and they're all fairly similar. They have onboard accelerometers. And they know that they only activate when they're in your ear, so they detect that they're in your ear. They're about $160, so it's one of these deals where you kind of go, if you bought a 256 gig iPhone 7 Plus and some AirPods, you would be making an investment that would be, I don't know, close to like laptop or iPad Pro level spending. So they're Bluetooth and that's pretty cool. The general look is apparently not dramatically different. The main thing they did is there's some new colors. They have two new black options. They have a matte black and a high gloss black, in addition to the previous rose gold, gold and silver. The jet black color is particularly cool looking, apparently, but it's going to be tough to get your hands on it for a while, apparently, according to Wired. Most important design change is not something that you'll see, but apparently the new iPhone 7, one of the big things they did is make it water resistant. It's called IP67 water resistant. It's not scuba proof, but it should mean that your iPhone will survive a drop in the sink. To better seal the device, there was one big structural change. The home button doesn't click anymore. It'll feel like it clicks, apparently, but it's going to be using the force touch stuff that you find in new MacBook Pros and the Apple Watch, which vibrates to give you the illusion of that you pressed on a button. In theory, it shouldn't make any difference to how you use the iPhone, and it's one less part for you to break. So then the general specs going, just quickly on it. It has the A10 Fusion processor. The screens are brand new with newly wide color gamuts. That means they show more different colors, and they have the same super accurate color tech that they used in the iPad Pro. So if you've seen one of those screens and if you've noticed that it's better, then you're getting that with the iPhone 7. They tweaked their speakers to deliver stereo sound for the first time. Although the thing that's different is I think it's stereo when you hold the phone horizontally. And then it uses the speaker on the bottom and then on the top to give you the stereo stuff. And then the 32 gig thing, like I mentioned earlier. Let's see, the Plus now has two cameras, both 12 megapixels, one with a wide angle lens and one with a telephoto lens. And then together they supposedly offer better quality photos and more adjustable ones. You get two-time optical zoom from the camera, up to 10 times with the software. Plus, the 7 Plus's image processor will scan the scene with both cameras, create a depth map of the image, and let you mess with it after the fact. It's kind of like, it's sort of like that Lytro thing. So apparently gives you the ability to change your focus after taking the shot. And so apparently that's the biggest thing as far as, I guess, this article in Wired says, is that the camera is the most important feature. Samsung and others have caught up on hardware design, software features, and app quality, but photography is the thing that is still where Apple's above the others as far as phone stuff. Let's see. And this is more apparently that, it comes down to that this is really, you know, they have the TikTok cycle where they have a new phone, then they have the performance upgrade, and then this is supposed to be the whole totally new phone, but most of this is more of a performance upgrade. It's really, so it's kind of the 6SS in a sense. So, you know, I guess we'll see what happens with the, we'll see what the orders are like. It sounds like Apple has had manufactured a ton of these phones and expects a lot of people to want to buy them, and so we'll see what happens with that. And then moving on to the watch. You know, it's been 2 years since they, almost 2 years since they introduced the watch, and now they have, you know, they have the second gen. Apparently looks pretty much the same. It's got the same face, same bands to choose from. There's some new materials in the lineup. They have a ceramic, ceramic version, and then just like the phones, it's now waterproof. So apparently it's waterproof enough that you can wear it in the shower and use it to track your swimming workouts. It has, the rumors have been pretty strong for that, which helps untether it from your iPhone even more, which is mostly that affects people if you're a runner and you, you know, want an Apple Watch, because then you don't have to have your phone all tied up and everything. Let's see. It's still got to connect to the iPhone, you know, because it has GPS, but it doesn't have a it doesn't have its own cellular modem thing. Otherwise, it sounds like the usual spec bumps. It's got a new chip that's 50% faster and doubles the graphic performance, according to Apple. There's a new brighter display that burns with the power of 1,000 nits. The pricing, let's see, they reduced the price on the original Apple Watch. That's around $270, and the Series 2 starts at around $370. There's a Nike version that's got a different look to it too. You pretty much would want to go look online. Pre-orders begin September the 9th with watches shipping the following week. And then if you've already got an Apple Watch, the Watch OS 3 is going to show up on September the 13th. The Nike Plus version of the watch will be available in late October. And I guess I should have mentioned, they didn't say it in the phone article, the AirPods, the wireless earbuds, those will not be available until sometime in October. So they're announced, but they're not out where you can do anything with them. So if you want to mess with your friends, take an old, you know, take a wrecked pair of your Apple earbuds, your phone earbuds, you know, say the wire got broken or your cat chewed through it or whatever, and just cut the wires off and then stick them in your ears and pretend that you have the wires. And then just tell them you've got a buddy at Apple who hooked you up, and so you can screw with people that way if you really would like. And that's, you know, there's some other Apple stuff, but I'll leave that for the real by the Apple segment. And at least so far, it looks like I haven't cut out. So there's that. Or I cut out a long time ago and just don't know it. Some other news, some other quick hits. Google has killed their, you know, there was going to be that sort of Lego phone where you could, like, connect all the different pieces up. And give different functions to your phone. Google has announced that it's killing Project ARA, A-R-A, which was the modular smartphone initiative. It was kind of cool and strange, but, you know, obviously it was always kind of a long shot, apparently. And now, so it seems like with this, that the winning approach is the, you know, I guess iPhone and Galaxy device thing where they're sealed up. They're not really made to be opened, and they're protected that way. There's an interesting article from Engadget that says basically that Project Arrow was one of the best examples of weird Google, and that the death of the project is the latest clue that the experimental side of the company may be not as important as, you know, that they're getting, they're not pursuing some of the radical, weird initiatives that they used to. You know, you pair that with the kind of changes at Google Fiber and some of those things, and so it might not be a great sign. Well, I don't have the links posted yet because of the kind of pre-show drama and getting connected up, but very soon I'll post all the links from tonight's, for tonight's articles and stuff for the news. Let's see, this one, I wish I don't do a good Donald Trump impersonation. Sorry, it's not in my wheelhouse. But, and I couldn't find, I wanted to find the actual audio of him saying this because somebody asked him about cybersecurity. And it was, it's just so bad. So I'm going to read it. I can't read it like Donald Trump, but I will read it verbatim. And you can tell, you can decide when you listen to it if Donald Trump is ready to, you know, do pen testing and if he's a big Mr. Robot fan and all that stuff. He says, quote, "You know, cyber is becoming so big today. It's becoming something that a short number of years ago, wasn't even a word. Now the cyber is so big. You know, you look at what they're doing with the internet, how they're taking, recruiting people through the internet. And part of it is the psychology, because so many people think they're winning. And you know there's a whole big thing. Even today's psychology, where CNN came out with the big poll. Their big poll came out today that Trump is winning. It's good psychology. It's good psychology." End quote. So clearly, I think we have a candidate who gets cyber. he seems to really know... really know the whole cyber thing and has spent a lot of time thinking about it and is ready to cyber. I don't know what he's ready to do, but it was just it's even more bizarre if you hear the actual audio of him saying it, because it's kind of like, it's like the kid who got asked, who usually was sleeping in the back of the classroom, and the teacher finally asked them a question, and you know that they have no idea what any of it's, they barely know what it's about. So, and then finally, this is about the future, but it is a concern now. We've talked very little about quantum computers on this show because they're not, you know, they're not practical. That, you know, we had calls in the mid 90s where people wanted to talk about quantum computing and there hadn't even been one quantum circuit made yet. So it didn't really fit, but people are looking ahead to what quantum computing means. And especially as it gets to risk, and cybersecurity people are very concerned. The U.S. National Institute of Standards and Technology issued a call for help on a particular matter. And this week, the Global Risk Institute added its voice to the mix. Because of quantum computing, there's a 1 in 7 chance that fundamental public key cryptography tools used today will be broken by 2026. This is according to Michelle Mosca, co-founder of the University of Waterloo's Institute for Quantum Computing and special advisor on cybersecurity to the Global Risk Institute. In a report she published Monday that says by 2031, the chance jumps to 50%. Now, so there's a chance that fundamental tools will be broken. Yeah, the problem is you're talking about, when you're talking about fundamental cryptography tools, public key cryptography tools, you're talking about the stuff that secures, everything. Michelle Mosca is male. Although the quantum attacks are not happening yet, critical decisions need to be taken today in order to be able to respond to these threats in the future, he said. The threats come from the fact that quantum computers work in a fundamentally different way than traditional computers do. You know, and just, you've probably heard it before. In traditional computing, numbers are either represented by zeros or ones, but quantum computing relies on atomic scale units called quantum bits or qubits. that can be simultaneously 0 and 1 through a state known as superposition. Far greater performance and efficiency are among the benefits, but an unintended consequence of it is that it breaks some of the cryptographic tools currently underpinning cybersecurity. Encryption. Part of how encryption works relies on the challenge of factoring large numbers. But researchers recently demonstrated what they said is the first five-atom quantum computer capable of cracking encryption schemes. So this is early days. That's why the whole kind of, one in seven chance that by 2026 it'll be cracked and a 50% chance by 2031. The more systems there are and the larger they are, the more likely they'll be able to crack our cryptography. And so the thing, they're actually, we've talked about the Internet of Things where it's like they're doing stuff and not really thinking about security. And it's kind of the worry is that it'll be already in place and then there'll be some huge zero day that people figure out where it's not secure. This one, they're looking ahead. And one of the things about it is, since this is the foundation cryptography stuff, unless there's a replacement already in place, the system will crumble with no quick fixes, according to Mosca wrote. Right now, our cyber immune system is not ready for the quantum threat. There's a pending lethal attack, and the clock is ticking to design and deploy the cure before the threat is realized. So apparently, in the long run, we'll need quantum-safe cryptography tools, he said, including protocols that can run on conventional technologies and resist quantum attacks. I know it sounds like sci-fi, but this is a real deal. There is a competition coming in which members of the public will devise and test promising new cryptographic methods. Meanwhile, private security firms are working on the problem as well. Cryptol, for example, recently launched an independent effort of its own with the goal of having a product available by 2021. So there's an opportunity if you're big on encryption and understand quantum computing. And that's the news. So I guess we can circle back and talk about the Apple stuff if anybody's...
Oh, who cares?
Nobody wants any of that stuff. The normalizing effect, I think obviously it's easier to waterproof a phone if it doesn't have a analog audio port on it. So I have to wonder, it'll be interesting to see who follows Apple with non-traditional audio plugs on them.
Let's just have
everybody. That's the danger, yeah.
Everybody come up with their own.
Yeah.
The thing that kills me about that is, so the lunatic fringe audiophile sets, the people who spend, hundreds of thousands of dollars on this kind on audio equipment, on, separate amps and magic rocks and isolated turntables and whatever, they're still using, standard analog audio jacks, like the half-inch stereo den plugs, the little tiny ones, the mini stereo dens, it's the same technology. And you would think that if there was any kind of way to induce someone to spend more money for something dumb, that the manufacturers who take advantage of people like that would have already done it. But they haven't. The audiophiles, the crazies, are still using the stereo plugs. So why is Apple doing this?
Also, it's one of the last universal, arguably, adapters that we have left that work anywhere. Yeah, I can buy, an 1/8-inch RCA jack is going to work in Europe. It's going to work wherever I go. I can pull out whatever kind of audio device I have, and it works, and they're taking that away. I think it's a bad move.
It's not a matter of wanting to put in an interface that gives higher audio quality. I mean, that's absolute garbage, and I'm sure that whoever at Apple can come up with and show tons of data to the contrary, but they're simply wrong. It's not the analog audio interface is not the source of bad audio. It just isn't. It's
also the number of headphones and nice headsets I bought over the years versus how many different power adapters for Apple hardware I bought over the years. It's ridiculous. I mean, Apple outweighs that 3 to 4 to 1. So the fact that I just don't want to have to get another dongle or another adapter every time.
So Apple didn't introduce some great new headphones because now that there's
they did.
No jack.
They introduced their new wireless headphones. I mean, the thing that they did is they've moved the DAC outside, the digital to analog to digital converter. It's been now moved, instead of being part of the phone, they've moved the DAC into either the headphones themselves or into the, if you're still using traditional headphones, the DAC has been moved into the dongle, into the lightning.
The DAC dongle.
The DAC, it's a DAC dongle. It's been moved into the lightning to little stereo mini, like, dongle doodad that you've got to use to plug your normal doodad, headphones in.
So that's got to be a quality DAC because it's, like, the size of the pin of a head.
Oh, yeah, sounds awesome, I'm sure.
Well, there's a real opportunity for the audiophile market if you make a DAC that's like the size of a briefcase and is like concrete lined and heavy and a pain in the butt to carry around and use, because then they'll equate sound quality with the whole kind of irritating uselessness of the whole thing. I would think there's at least a percentage of the audiophile market that would work, I bet.
I heard you can just, like, shove a coat hanger into the new port and it sounds just as good as the old stuff, just as good as a monster cable.
I mean, you could probably
the reason it's so large is it has to have an oxygen-free environment for
you
the
know,
bits.
There are some nice DAC headphone amplifiers and stuff, but they're not cheap.
No.
I would go with tubes and then take up running and just, you know, go down the trail with everything.
I just
don't want more dongles.
Apple may be jumping the gun, but we are moving towards where the connectors are. There's a lot fewer than there were, and I think that the odds are. I'm surprised they did the Lightning connector and didn't go with the USB 3C or whatever it is.
I also think fewer and fewer people seem to care about audio quality. I think. To me, it seems that way because I see more and more people that not just audio and video, because I see more and more people that are perfectly happy to watch shows on their phones with headphones or even without headphones, and it's just like cheap headphones or the Apple headphones, and they just don't sound that good.
No.
And the video, you know, you're watching a movie or even a television show on a normal television screen, or a movie that's on a huge screen, and they're watching on these little, like, you know, 3-inch screens.
There's a great YouTube clip of David Lynch talking about, the famous director David Lynch talking about his feelings about people watching movies on phones. We can't play it on the air because he says several bad words. David Lynch is not a fan of you watching a movie on your phone.
It just, I mean, I don't understand it because, I mean, even though, I don't always watch movies in a movie theater, although I think that's best if, you know, if the prices were more reasonable, I would do it a whole lot more. But I have a decent TV with a good picture, and I have a nice stereo system that I like to sit and listen to music or watch stuff on. And so, you know, whenever somebody else is, like, you know, walking around with their iPhone blaring some streaming music, and I'm just like, there's a good stereo right there. Like, all you have to do is turn it on, and it will fill this room with sound that is so much better. Like, how can you choose that?
I don't want to be that guy, but I got into one of the last times I flew. I got into a conversation with my seatmate over some music, and we were talking about one song. And I mentioned, like, yeah, there was, like, you know, there was someone in the back of the song, and it might have been, like, which is weird because you'd think if they listen to this music, they would know current stuff. But it was like a Liz Phair song, Exit from Guyville, and there's a majority of it, but really quiet in the background. She says, you know, this whole other string of words, and you really can't hear it unless you've got a good set of headphones or a good system, because it's in the background. And this person did not believe me, like, said, no, there's no possible way. I've had that for forever. That was one of my favorite songs. I played it, I had it on CD, and I put it on the headphones and, you know, said, hey, listen to this, and they listened, and it was there. But I mean, it's like things drop off. It's like, you know, I don't want to cross any paths with any directors, but I would assume that it's almost the same thing as going from, like, you know, widescreen to, like, a pan and scan kind of things, because they're having to, you know, just like big parts of the audio are literally dropping off.
You just lose, you lose stuff.
I mean, a whole side of, you know, not lyrics, but a whole track, you know, more or less was wasted on this guy because he didn't really listen to it outside of, you know, just kind of streamy devices and stuff. And there's a good 15-year age difference between me and the guy I was talking to. But at the same time, it's like, you know, the only way I could listen to music back in the day was kind of with some headphones or stuff like that. You know,
well, the thing is, to me, it's like, I'm not a crazy audiophile. I don't have perfect pitch. I'm not a crazy audiophile, but I can definitely hear the difference between, you know, something coming out of an iPhone speaker and something coming out of, you know, a nice set of stereos. It's like some, you know, $150 or $200 Sony home stereo in a box. It still sounds better than the iPhone. Much less, you know, I mean, if you go to Bose, which of course a lot of people think is like way overpriced, but their sound quality is better than a $200 Sony in a box, right? But then you can move on to any number of thousands of dollars to spend on stuff, and it sounds really good. And if you have that available to you, like, why not use something?
But it does bring
better?
Us full circle back to Lee's point in that that's still, you know, you can spend ridiculous amounts of money in the hi-fi world, in the audiophile world, but that's one, you know, piece of tech that has not gone away.
Well, it's kind of like an asymptotic curve, right? Is a $100 stereo is probably going to sound a lot better than a $10 Walmart boombox, and a $1,000 stereo is probably going to sound, you know, a lot better than a $100 stereo,
but at some point,
$10,000 stereo is not going to sound $10,000 better than a $1,000.
That's why you should come look at my $20,000 stereo. Let's go come into the showroom with me, young sir.
I mean, I do think there's, you know, kind of diminishing returns, unless people either want to spend money to make themselves feel better, or I mean, some people really do have really good hearing, and I think it really does make a big difference for them. But I think that's a very small percentage of the population, and some people like to imagine that they are in that category, and they're not, you know, and they just want to spend it to, like, be in that culture,
well, and there's
for status
a, there
or
is
for whatever.
A, there is a reticence. It is a well-known reticence among typical audiophile circles to decry the effectiveness of double-blind listening tests. Like, because, I mean, if you take, you know, one magic oxygen-free directional USB cable and plug it into a stereo and play music, and then take a second, like, you know, coat hanger and plug it in and play music, you're probably not going to be able to tell a difference. And in a double-blind test, it's been proved pretty conclusively that that kind of thing doesn't make any difference to the sound quality.
Definitely with cables.
Especially when you start getting into dumb stuff like this cable is directional. The bits flow better if you plug it in this way versus this way.
Long grain, oxygen-free copper with a battery attached to it.
But, and so you ask, you know, how can anybody refute, like, you know, a properly controlled double-blind study to tell A from B? Why are they?
Purchase bias.
Science. No, well, yes, because the response to that in typical, and I've had a couple of really long email conversations with a few people because I wrote some very critical audiophile articles a couple of years ago when
people will show up on your doorstep at 4 in the morning.
Oh, we did
that.
I did a whole thing, man. We got the James Randi Foundation involved. We did a whole test on stage. It was really cool. Anyway, the response to by the majority of the audiophile community is that you don't listen to your stereo to, like, doing an A-B test. You don't listen to the music that you love in with a blindfold on in a carefully controlled listening environment. You don't listen to equipment to test it. You listen to it, you know, in your own home with, you know, your brandy in your hand and a cigar, or whatever you do when you listen to music in your room, in your chair, with your system or your headphones on and relaxing. And the set and the setting, as it was, contributes to your enjoyment of the system. So a double-blind test is totally worthless because how you consume your music and where you
so
do
why
it
don't,
and how you're
why
tuning
don't,
is
really
matter.
Why don't they buy brandy that was filtered through diamonds?
I don't know. Some of them probably do.
Just do an A-B test with everything else in place. It's not that hard. Go get your manservant to swap out the cables in between refills on your brandy snifter. Sauvassier. Yeah, it's not. Come on.
All right. We interrupt this broadcast.
Uh-oh.
I want to let everyone know that irc.cuckoo.com has been deprecated. So,
beautiful plumage.
It had just gained some sentience.
And so Barrett made a very poor suggestion.
Yes. Well, we should have tied up that real estate back in the day when I wanted to go there, but we didn't.
All right. So here's the challenge. I like getting into these places where I'm learning something I didn't know before, but it kind of takes over everything. So to heck with it, whatever we're talking about, let's talk about this.
Sweet.
You have to register on Freenode. You have to register your nickname.
Oh. I didn't.
Why? What?
Are you sure you did a long time ago and forgot about it?
Maybe I did a long time ago.
Yeah, I think that's what happened to me.
I cannot.
But it didn't ask me for a password.
We've moved on. Jay's talking now.
Jay's talking.
Shut up. It won't let me connect to the server with any IRC client I've got. The FAQs say...
Somebody's already got your name.
Ooh,
try a different name.
Think of something that ridiculous.
Like, Jay Lee's.
It should tell you in the comments though why you're being kicked out, or it should say.
It says notice you need to identify via Sassel to use this server.
Oh, you have to turn on Sassel.
I've got Sassel turned on. Let me just try a random username, Jabble Lee Lee.
Jabble.
All right.
Castle. Pretty bird.
No. Let's see if I can now join with non.
You want an IRC server?
Jay Lee, no such Nick.
I can set up an IRC server. I've got dedicated server, static IP address, no bandwidth limit. Full hardware access. I can get you an IRC.
I set up one at some
point. I know
a
guy, man. You want an IRC server? You want a human head? I can get you a human head.
You want a little toe? I can have a toe in 2 hours.
But I got to figure out how to register my Nick with the Freenode. But Freenode won't let me connect, so I can do a message Nick serve register.
Can't you
connect? I will register that for you, Jay.
Would you want me to? Yeah,
I can. You got a Sassel off first, though. So.
I've got Sassel turned on in the client.
But you can, log in without identifying and then issue commands, right?
It is registered, even though when I did a who is, it says this Nick isn't registered.
Well, I know that, but the other one I'm using is not registered.
Look, there's somebody named Jay Lee right there on the thing.
Oh, that's me.
Oh.
All right, the other thing I want to ask about, since we're talking about Apple and we're getting ready to go to the break, the iPhone 7 goes on sale Friday. So I'm guessing at midnight, right? So I haven't played the early bird, get online, buy it, pre-order thing. So pre-orders are available on the 9th, which is Friday.
You better have your Sassel auth working.
Yep. That's what I'm working on. But my question is, what time for us? Do we know? How does that work? How does it work? Like, if you want to go and be one of the first people to buy this darn thing without waiting in line, you want to do it online for the pre-order, what time do you have to go to the Apple site and do it?
I guess we'll have to find out after these messages.
Or during these messages.
I think it's Pacific. Midnight.
Pacifica time.
Pacifica time. Uh-huh. All right, well, we're going to take a
12:01
break.
12:01 a.m. Pacific Daylight Time on September 9th.
What time?
12:01 a.m.
What time is
daylight.
That our time?
2 o'clock.
Really? I have to stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning to do this?
Yes.
Never mind.
If you're old, you can
I'm
just get
Android.
Up at 2 o'clock.
That's true. All right, well, you're listening to Technology Bites. We're going to take a short break and figure out the IRCs, hopefully. And we'll be back after these messages. My name is Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barry.
I'm Lee.
And he's
Groovehouse.
Greetings, KPFT listeners. This is Alma Vizcarra, KPFT's local election supervisor. I would like to inform you that starting next Tuesday, September 6, KPFT will have the listener candidates in the studio for the candidate forums. These one-hour forums will be held from September 6 through the 9th and from September 12 through the 14th at 9 in the morning. We invite you to listen to all the forums starting on September the 6th so that you can learn more about the listener candidates. And if you have any questions about these forums or about the elections process, please contact us at 832-930-3020. That number is 832-930-3020. Or you can email us at les-kpft2016@pacifica.org. This is KPFT Houston.
KPFT invites you to Electro Love Fest, Saturday, September 24th from noon to 1 a.m. Performers include Tres X, Graveltooth, Nameless Horses, Heartburn, Alive One, and more. The event happens at the Last Concert Cafe, 1403 Nance Street, near downtown Houston. It's a benefit for your community radio station. Tickets and more details are at kpft.org. See you there. This is KPFT Houston.
You are no longer listening to Lenny Kravitz. This is 90.1 FM KPFT Houston. And now, what's that? Technology Bites. You're soaking in it.
Ew.
Ew.
I need a towel.
Your Thanks. Email address.
You have Madge. To do that after you go to the glue room.
Ew.
Thanks, Madge.
Horton, here's a glue.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back to Technology Bites. Wow, Lenny Kravitz, man. If you were listening live, if you're listening to the podcast, what the hell is he talking about,
man?
All right, so I'm officially depressed. It's the end of an era.
I'm not ready to. I mean, let's get on the solution, but I'm not giving up IRC yet.
All right, folks, we now have
just a second. What era ended?
The IRC Cuckoo Groovehouse Cuckoo era. Cuckoo
or Sarah.
All right, folks.
What happened?
Oh, we should have registered Cuckoo dot whatever.
It's too late. It's too late now. It's so much better now.
What?
Lee's dragging us into the recent future.
We're all jumping ship on IRC because Freenode is freaking out. Jay can't register on it.
We're all switching to ketchup.
No, we've switched to...
Jay's got invites for us.
Nice.
I still have my ketchup account.
We're going to be running hotline on this, too.
Your first week back participating in a show like you're supposed to, you need to behave yourself.
All right, now, this is very bare bones.
Bare bones.
We just set it
bare
up
bones.
In the last...
What is it?
We just set it up over the break. And we take short breaks here, so this was like all of 15 seconds of setup. We're going to try Slack, which is a online messaging app. It's they do have applications if you want to download it, but it is browser-based. Everyone who would like to join up should head on over to geekradio.slack.com. That's geekradio.slack.com. Slack is spelled exactly how you might think it's spelled, like Church of the Subgenius. Slack is S like Sierra, L like Lima, A like Alpha, C like Charlie, K like Kilo. Geekradio.slack.com.
What's the team name?
The team name, it should let you put directly through. The team name is Technology Bites.
Technology Bites?
So I'm sitting here online. So Slack is a IRC-like messaging thing. It's a lot of companies are starting to use it to work. Actually, Ars Technica uses it for work. I use Slack every day. It's kind of the, you know, darling media technology right now. It's free. You don't have to sign up for anything other than just to get an account. You can use a throwaway email address. After you get the registration email, you can then throw it away. It supports two-factor authentication. It's kind of a neat little toy. So anyway, if you would like to, I see Jay just signed up. Anybody who would like to pop in here,
I can't sign up.
I just installed Slack.
You don't have to install
Are you running
it.
14.2?
It's wrong Slack, man.
Okay, hold on.
You got to compile your kernel from the beginning now. You have to recompile everything. Okay.
What's our team again?
Our team is Technology Bites, if it asks.
Gotcha.
Technology Bites.
All right, so I'm in there. It looks
You're in there.
Like. What do I need
say,
to do?
Hi, Jay. Boom. See where I said hi, Jay?
No, I don't.
Sure you do. I'm in the... Oh, it's still... Oh, just hit the... Skip the tutorial.
Where do I put in my Sassel auth?
I don't understand.
Why don't you understand?
What?
This is easy.
Oh, there it is.
I want to join another team.
You just want to join Technology Bites. That's the team you want to join,
Can
baby.
I change my username?
I have an iPhone app, and I already use Slack.
Oh, yeah, just add another team.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, it's
but,
in there.
But when I do it, it tells me to enter my email address, and then it says I didn't register to that team with that email address.
Oh, well, let me send you an invite.
Do we have to invite everybody, or could they just join?
No, they can just join. It's open.
Except
I mean,
if you're afflicted.
I feel a little awkward because on this app, the thing to change from the team that I'm on is called Switch Teams.
Yeah.
And I feel a little comfortable selecting Switch Teams.
Heather,
we know what team you play for.
I hear they need a shortstop.
And all the geeky guys go, doot, 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 doot. All right, so welcome back to the show. We're exploring new technology to us. Lee is leading us down the primrose path.
Something.
It's our experimental show.
We're going somewhere.
You know, sure, I'm curious. Maybe even a little intrigued.
It'll only hurt for a moment.
See, because when I say to switch teams, it asks me for the team name, but then it expects that I'm already on that team.
Oh, this is interesting. Team sign up mode.
I don't know how to tell it.
Maybe this isn't going
to
work.
I don't know how to tell like that.
I'd
want
like
to,
it to be.
To
I'd like
log
to be general.
Into
maybe I could just
another
do
team.
Star.
Star.
Start out star.
Hmm. Slack sign up.
So the
y'all keep doing the show.
These guys are
so the
put the robot on Mars.
This is like real IT. Whoa.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're in the conversation pit trying to. Do we have a Barrett time?
This is Barrett time. We're solving real problems here.
Yeah. Okay. So we determined that the iPhone 7 goes on sale at 2:00 in the morning our time.
2:01.
2:01. Jeez. Cool. Louise. Maybe I'll get
if you really loved Apple,
you'd go stand in line at the Apple Store for one.
Well, that's
white.
another Friday later, though.
Yeah, the pre-orders 60. Is when you want to try to get it where it'll be delivered on the Friday that everyone's standing in line. Maybe. I don't know. Well, I'm torn. I'll figure it out later. All right. So as we progress with our show, I still want to just acknowledge the fact that IRC, at least Cuckoo.com, is dead.
Cuckoo.
It's been deprecated. Cuckoo. It's gone away. So that means I got to do it. The website has not had an update in a while. So I've got to go tear that down. But maybe. Kirk, remember Cuckoo? Where's my kook? Are you Cuckoo?
Beautiful plumage.
He's just sleeping.
Maybe. I wonder if we could register Cuckoo.com.
Cuckoo. Cuckoo.
Well, anyway, so IRC is dead for now. We're looking at other options for our show within a show. If Lee gets this to work properly...
You know, it actually... This may not work for us because it doesn't have an open sign-up mode. I have to pre-screen...
Everybody.
Well, I can add... I can add email domains to allow signups from, right?
You probably have to, pay to get one that has...
No, you don't have... No. It doesn't work.
All of ketchup.com.
So there's no such account. So there's no such thing as open registration.
No, it doesn't look like there's an open registration option.
If you're on IRC now and you wish to participate in Lee's forum, please send him your top 5 wittiest IRC comments for screening. And if he deems you worthy, he will invite you into the pool.
Can you open up for my .ru mail?
Yes.
So how did Jay register?
He sent me an email.
Yeah, I sent him a quick invite. Hold on. Maybe just...
Call in with your email address.
I'm thinking this Slack thing isn't going to work out.
No. You know, it may not because it doesn't have open registration, which kind of is dumb.
But it's for
we could just use
for
it here in the studio.
Google Hangouts and have people come in where I connect and talk. So then
hey, what's this channel?
Everything I said about Slack, forget that. We're not doing that.
Never mind.
Quote
like Gilda Radner.
Yeah. Emily Latella.
Never
what's
mind.
All this
run away.
About sex and violins.
So keep looking for your invites to our special Slack thing. And
if you're cool enough, you'll get one.
Quoth the Lee.
Do you have to register for join on Ketchup, or is that that's open?
Yeah,
right?
That's already been covered.
Hey,
I got some Gmail.
I still
invites.
Think we should do that.
Hey, do a who is on Ketchup and see if the domain's available. Because we'll register and put it on an IRC server.
All right, so Lee, are you going to stand up an IRC server for us?
I can if you want me to.
Yeah.
Not like at this.
Not now, but no. Yes, later.
I would need someone else to admin it because I'm dumb on IRC. I would set up the most insecure stupid server.
I might
server
still
ever.
Have one because I installed one at some point. I might still have it installed and or running on my server because I did it a couple years ago, but we never used it.
Well, let's check yours first because I don't know. Like, I'd have to go read up on best practices because I don't want to set up IRC.
Well, and there's like 4 or 5 different versions of IRC servers depending on if it came out of EFNet or UNRWA.
All right, well, you check yours,
this
and if
could
you don't
be,
have
this
it,
could be
up.
This could be the birth of something even cooler than what we just lost. Oh,
I've got one Lee can run. Just ignore that cnc.config file, though.
Sure,
just look the other way.
If we ran our own IRC server.
Just use Flickd's diaspora.
It's fine. We can do it.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going
to
work
on
that.
Did you say you needed to move the website, too?
No.
I thought you said the website Is the website on the same?
That's on a different server.
Pete hosts. Okay. All right, Pete hosts the server.
Excellent.
Pete hosts the server that runs the website.
And it's in a data center and is
a secret location.
A friend of mine who I used to work with back at Neosoft and was part of the distributed .NET thing that happened back then. Was part of a group of people that ran the irc.cuckoo.com.
Cuckoo.
So
remember Cuckoo?
Early on in the show, he invited us to use that server.
And Cuckoo.
We registered our nicknames and our channel and all of that stuff, and we maintained it for a long time, and it just kind of percolated there, and we always had it. It was just nice that we had it. Mm. So now we don't have it anymore. I guess he didn't give any details as to why it was deprecated, but...
Oh, who used to hang out? Ophelia? Who was it?
Ophelia sleeping. Oh, no, yeah. He's probably awake now. He's going to wake up and everyone's going to be gone.
Gone, exactly.
No, people are probably trying to hit that server right now.
Now, I can... if you guys give me a week or so, it looks like Slack actually might be doable, but you have to run a sort of a shim to do the to present the registration out, and give me a week by next show we may have something.
Yeah. I so want to go register ketchup.ninja.
Some shims and a couple of sugar packets and we'll get this thing
ketchup
going.
Space
ketchup today is also available. Ooh. Ketchup space, 99 cents a year.
Let's get a few years.
You can't afford not to at that rate.
What about...
2 years, $25, though. That's not fair.
That's too bad. Because ketchup, because you could put... There's got to be some other ketchup, right? That's available, like with all those crazy domains.
Surely ketchup.com's available.
Ketchup.something has to be available.
Still exists. So then, still used.
But wasn't it spelled weird?
Q-U-E-C-H-U-E.
I thought that all of that was permanently burned into your brains because you keep bringing it up.
So it was like Quetchup?
Yes. Yep. Like Quix, like the propeller beans.
I like how you start bringing stuff up. You're going to cut us off at the pass.
Let me stop you right there.
Let me think of everything possibly you might make fun of me for.
I'm just going to tell everybody at DEF CON your secret.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Wow. So I was thinking because if we could get the domain, then we could get subdomains, and then we could have j.lees.patented.ketchup.com.
It's a squatter site now.
Ketchup.org is out there, and .net.
Ah, see?
And .me. And .France.
.France.
And .France.
Oh, yes.
Come to my ketchup and I will taunt you a second time.
It's been way past the second time for that taunting.
I told them we already got one.
Do you have a ketchup invite? I told them we already got one. Thank you very much for spamming me.
I don't see the IRC server on there, so maybe I... whacked it at some point.
Whacked
it's gone.
It. All right. Well, let's do this. Let's try to go on with the show as a, you know, the funeral march towards. Let's find the next thing that's going to go away.
Coo, 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 coo. Coo, 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 coo.
I want to go and tell everybody on IRC that it's dead.
They're waiting for us.
Poor KD5.
Ketchup.ru is available, but Russian residents cannot currently register domain names under .ru.
Wait a minute. We're not Russian residents.
No, I know that, but isn't that weird that if you live in Russia, you can't register a .ru?
Well, sounds like now's the time to take advantage of that.
Yeah.
What about the RF? The actual Cyrillic?
Does ICANN support that?
Yeah. Yeah, it just gets converted in the back end using, I forgot what.
This is like the most esoteric, weird show we've done in a long time.
So when you actually look at the domain name, it's like a ASCII encrypted version of you know, whatever, UTF-8. So the domain name itself underneath is actually kind of weird because it's like got dashes and regular, like, you know, whatever the word I'm looking for, Latin letters. But it encodes it for the browser, so the browser shows you whatever, you know, Cyrillic or Korean or Chinese or whatever.
Whatever your localization settings are set to. I'm just going to go straight to the top. I'm emailing I think it's putin@kremlin.ru.
Yes. You have to send all communications to Putin via Trump.
Via Trump. CC.
Actually Manafort.
Please
forward.
CO.
All right, speaking of Manforts, let's go to the next segment. Do you have that queued up, Pete?
I can't remember
what it is.
Oh, except, of course, it was played out to the end from 4.
Right.
Bite of the apple.
Anyways, whatever that was. Got a couple. There is some non-phone Apple stuffs, so there are things for the for Bite of the Apple segment that for reals. One of the things that is non-phone related, but is macOS 10.12 Sierra is going to be the final version. Will be released to the public on September 20th. They made the announcement on the website during the September product event today. Aside from being called macOS now, macOS 10.12 is the official name. Sierra brings a handful of big new features and a longer list of minor tweaks. It runs on, there actually is some hardware that this won't run on. The affected hardware is mostly from 2007, 2008, and 2009. So if you bought something since the turn of the decade, you should generally be safe. So yeah, MacBooks from late 2009 and later, iMacs from late 2009 and later, MacBook Airs, Pros, Minis, and Mac Pros 2010 and later. Which, you know, at a certain point, I have a feeling a lot of the 2009 or earlier than 2009 ones can't be running too well at this point anyway. They have some other features that they've added. Apple Watch unlocking, apparently. And Siri will be coming to the Mac with Sierra. So you'll be able to talk to your computer. There'll be an updated version of the iWork Productivity Suite, which will include real-time collaboration between multiple users. So that could be interesting. There was no date announced for the iWork updates, but it's probably going to be, you know, related to Sierra. Like every macOS release since Mavericks, Sierra will be a free upgrade for all supported Macs. So that's good. And then, I mentioned this is iPad news, but don't get confused. You know, I mentioned they dropped the 16 gig, the too small memory amount for phones, for all the phones, for the lowest level of each model phone. They did the same thing for iPads, they hadn't, you know, and they didn't change the price, so that's kind of nice. Essentially, things like the iPad Air 2 and the iPad Mini 4 used to start at 16 gigs of storage, and now they start at 32. And again, like I said, the price stays the same. The Air 2 and the Mini 4 start around $400 if you're looking for an iPad with that. You can go up to 128 gigs for those who want a lot of space. That's the odd thing, is the phones can have more data space than the iPads, than the older iPads, which is just kind of different and odd. The iPad Pro has a bunch of options, you know, because it's got the two different display sizes and LTE and all that stuff. iPad Pro models start at 32 gigs of storage and can be purchased with up to 256 gigs of storage. They did cut prices on the top tier iPad Pros. That's the big, ginormous ones. The 128 gig models are now $50 cheaper, and the 256 gig models are $100 cheaper. So they start at $900 for Wi-Fi only. So, you know, it's not like they've gotten cheaper is a relative term on that. The final model on offer, the iPad Mini 2, is now only available as a 32 gig model for $269. So that's all the other and I guess next week we'll start having the rumors about probably having the rumors either it's probably neck and neck. Well, the they won't have released the phones, so we won't have the like what is the complaint feature of the new phone going to be? You know, there's always the one like
the Note 7.
Oh yeah, what's gonna be Bendgate for the new phone? I mean,
right. So you got that. So that one will come out, but maybe we'll have rumors about the iPhone 9 or 10 or 8. I guess we could have iPhone 8 rumors starting next week. And that's all the bite of the apple for.
Hey, I have a copy. I have a copy of the Sven virus. If anybody needs a copy of that,
I was looking for that. Let me install that.
I think at home somewhere. I also have a floppy disk that has a copy of the New York Boys Master Boot Record virus.
Yeah.
Excellent.
At least that one.
Nobody uses floppies anymore.
Send it, baby.
I'm also not sure what the last OS was that would run operate on.
Nice.
Put on a thumb drive.
I guess we'll jump to yet another segment quickly.
Segment it up.
In the geek world, we hear about new gadgets and gizmos every day. But can they stand a dip in the snart tank?
So, only got a few things this week, this one, some things are interesting because of what you don't see. This one is not inexpensive, and when I say not inexpensive, I don't even mean iPad Pro not inexpensive. I mean more like Mac Pro fully loaded. Not inexpensive. It's the Budnitz Model E electric bike. It's an electric bicycle, obviously. The thing that's interesting about it is that if you look at it, you can't tell. I have posted all the links to all the articles and stuff for this week's shoe are posted to geekradio.com. You can get them direct messaged to you on cuckoo.com.
Cuckoo.
If you can connect somehow. The deal is this looks like a regular bicycle. Of course, it's a titanium alloy frame to make it light. It's got a 250-watt electric motor and a grease-free belt drive for cruising speeds of up to 15 miles an hour. The entire drivetrain on this bicycle is located in the rear hub so that it's sealed up and safe from the elements, so there's low maintenance. It's got a 30-volt lithium-ion 160-watt-hour battery to keep you going for up to 100 miles, and Bluetooth connectivity allows you to choose between different modes and power outputs for the bike. Now, it's like $4,000, but the thing that the interesting part is this is I think on electric bikes it's the early adopters time, and now that we have bikes that look like this looks like your basic street like 3-speed regular bicycle, except it's got the electric augmentation and that stuff. I think that the pricing and that kind of stuff is going to tend to come down and be more available to more people. I mean, at some point, I think that electric bikes, take away a lot of the problems of regular bicycles because you don't have to sweat as much if the bike helps you, pedal and all that kind of stuff. So it may be that there'll be more opportunities for people to, especially in Houston, you can go like right up on 610. It goes 15 miles an hour. It's got to work. No, but there are places you can, there are more bicycle-friendly places around, I guess. And if you've got a bunch of money and want to ride a bike that you can fool people to not think that it's electric, so you can race them, tell them you'll race them 100 miles And at 15 miles an hour, you can get there in, you know, like 8 hours or something, 7 or 8 hours. But the regular guy, unless he's Lance Armstrong and he's been doping, won't be able to keep up with you. Hmm. And then this one has been, well, this one's been expected for a while. But they're going, and it'll get formally announced tomorrow, but it's obviously not a well-kept secret. Sony's announced the PlayStation 4 Pro. It doesn't really look any different on the outside to the PlayStation 4 before. The big thing that's different is it has an upgraded CPU and GPU that lets it support both 4K and HDR games. Most current PS4 titles will be able to upgrade to 4K via a simple patch, while newer titles will be developed to take full advantage of the new hardware. It has a 1 terabyte hard drive standard, and it will have 4K compatible apps for services like Netflix and YouTube. And it will also enable better graphics for the upcoming PlayStation VR. That one's planned to ship in November. So I guess just in time for Christmas, if you're going to get a 4K TV and you don't want to be playing your low-res games on it, it starts at like $400. So that is a pricing that is slightly more than the prior model, but it's not radically more. The Xbox, we had that a few weeks ago. They had their update, and now Sony's done theirs. And then one last Sony one is they announced 3 new Bluetooth headphones, which theirs aren't the Apple AirPod thing where it's the little tiny no wires thing. These are headsets. There's 3 headsets that have the a wired connection between the two buds. The most expensive one, the price and the size are, you know, directly correlated. The most expensive one is a sports headphone that is apparently splash proof, that allows users to wear them in heavy rain and even clean them in water. In addition to being the most waterproof of Sony's new headphones, apparently it has the highest quality sound with high fidelity wireless streaming thanks to Bluetooth and LDAC technology for up to 7 hours of music listening. Then they have a mid-range one that's a business-type Bluetooth headset that's about $100. It doesn't have the waterproofing and high-quality music streaming stuff, but it's got more remote controls for stuff like music playback and that, and then 9 hours of battery life. And then the last one is the cheapest one. It's about $80. And it's one that curls around the back of your ear, and then the piece, you know, the part you listen to goes in the ear with 2 wires connecting it. So the most expensive one and the cheapest one come in 3 colors, black, red, and blue, while the mid-range one is only in black. So just in case you didn't want to drop the $170 on the Apple Buds, that I've seen people talk about that they're really worried they'll lose the Apple AirPods.
I guess yeah, they're tiny, man.
What would extra suck is if you only lost one, because you know, you got the 2 of them, and then you lose one, and I'm guessing they have to be in a pair to, it's not like you can get one replacement that you have. So you'd have to.
I hope they like beep or something. Like you can maybe like press something on your phone and it sends out a signal and they, you know,
picks the left channel and the right channel.
Something goes beep 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 and you can find them. Because I can already. I mean,
well, you could find them because as long as they're connected, there you could play them loud enough to at least hear a faint.
That's true.
Well, I'm guessing the deal would be, you know, if it fell out of your ear, you should notice. I would hope.
Oh, no, I'd notice if it fell out. I just
wouldn't be able to find the crack that it fell into.
It looks like exactly the kind of thing I would put down somewhere and then just never find it again.
You put it down on the couch and it falls in the crack and then down behind in that section you can't get to anymore past the quarters.
Gone forever.
Yeah, so I'm going to buy, I've decided I'm just going to buy like crates of the old, obsolete headphones and just cut the little earbuds off and just walk around places where people are likely to drop their AirPods and just scatter them around like Johnny Appleseed, so they can drop theirs and it'll just be amongst 100 other matching pods.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm not going to buy them.
No, I want to see what the reviews are like on it. I don't know. It's one of those where I think with the neck piece and the wires does seem to be a better approach. If you wear a polo shirt, if they just make sure that the like part that goes around your neck that has the batteries and stuff, if they make sure that's like small and fairly flat where you can't really see it if you're, you know, wearing a collared shirt, that could work real well. Which I don't think anybody's really done.
Well, now, I mean, if we go wireless, I mean, I think there's the opportunity to just implant the technology into your head.
To put it in my ears, like inside my ears.
Like behind your ears, so you don't see the incisions.
Well, don't they make like bone conduction headphones already?
Bone phones.
Yeah, where you can just like put them and it like goes through the bone behind your ear. Can't you get that already?
Well, I don't like putting those buds in my ear anyway. They hurt. They don't feel right. So maybe getting it implanted.
The conduction ones I've seen make you look like the Tron guy, though.
They come with a mandatory unitard you get to put on.
They look pretty clunky and large and go all around your head. Hmm. So you look like the Justice League villain, what, Brainiac. But well, can you imagine with implants? Who is gonna? Here's a technology bite suggestion. Don't be the first person to get the new Apple implant headphones, because you know that 2 years later or a year later they'll come out with the implant S headphones.
These ones don't like make These you lose your memory damage. Whenever the microwave goes off.
Yeah. So that's the thing, the implant thing. I don't know. That's where you kind of
new and improved doesn't put you in debilitating agony randomly.
The 50% less debilitating agony.
Right.
But so you know, I that one I wonder about. Although you know, some of it the implant One of the things I've noticed that's sort of weird is I actually, you know, when you can carry around, I mean, think about how much music you can just carry around in your phone, even a just modest sized phone. And yet I listen less than I did when I had to carry around like cassette tapes and put them in a Walkman and go through all the garbage with that, you know, no wireless stuff with that and all that. So I don't know. You just wonder where the, is that because I'm old or is that more people's music experiences? They're just not. Is that why streaming is still working? Is because people still like the kind of radio station approach?
Can it be both?
Could be. That's true.
How big of a music library do you have, Pete?
Let's see. Mine. I'm guessing it tells me how many. I don't have a ginormous one because I didn't like pirate tons and tons of music, but
not tons.
You didn't survive the 90s then.
Usually they have the thing where they say how much time it would take for your collection or whatever, but it's not saying it.
It used to be really obvious, and then a couple years ago they took that feature away. It's still available, but you have to click on something to get it to scroll through options that show you that. I don't know, because I looked that up a couple years ago when it went away, because I don't remember. It said I could listen for, like, over 7 days or something without a repeat.
It's in iTunes. You just have to click on the down at the bottom of the screen where it says the size of your library. You have to click on the actual text, and it cycles through different readouts. Cool. I was going to check mine, but I can't log in because I am running the macOS Sierra beta and changed my SSH key, so I can't. Man, I didn't realize it, so I can't log into Home and check right now.
Do you have a large collection, would you say?
Not like ridiculously large. I don't know. Probably no more than 100 gigs. Maybe 150 gigs.
How many CDs worth of songs do you think?
I don't know. I went through a period. I went through a period probably 5 or 6 years ago where I ripped every single CD that I owned and then threw most of them away, except for some a couple of like autographed funky rare ones. But I mean,
so 100 gigs. You're listening to mostly live music, it sounds like, then, right?
No. It's just stuff, all stuff that I'd bought over the years. Plus, I bought a bunch of stuff through iTunes too. And it's just I don't think that's a lot. I don't think 100 gigs. Is a big music card.
Not for like a Bish collection. Yeah, I mean, they do like thousands of gigs. That's...
it also depends, you know, as far as size, on if you have like, you know, 16K mono or...
If you're ripping everything lossless.
7,000K, you know, 5-1 channel surround, you know.
So that used to be answering how many CDs.
I've got 100 gigs and
get all my music
it's two songs.
I've got about 2 shelves of music, probably. I don't buy digital stuff anymore. The only digital stuff I get is like when I buy like a record from like an online
you get a download
thing,
code.
And they say like, "Hey, here's some free music."
Yeah. No, I don't do streaming. I don't like not having the file that I'm listening to. I don't like the idea of not being able to listen to it on whatever I want, whenever I want. So I don't.
Well, you're never really buying music before. It's always kind of renting, kind of. But now it's even like a looser definition.
When I have the file and it's on my NAS or it's on my hard drive, it's as close as you can come to owning it, I guess.
I've actually been using the Amazon. You get Amazon Music with Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
And I've been using that. It had a surprising amount of stuff that I wanted to listen to, and you can download that and put it on your phone. I mean, obviously, I'm sure there's something where if you don't keep up your subscription that it goes away, but
want to be able to do is I'm beyond the point of like, I mean, I don't have a large CD collection, but I have a reasonable CD collection.
You strike me as the kind of guy who would have shelves of vinyl, Jay, for some reason.
I did at one point have over 3,000 albums.
It did? And yeah. That's a lot of albums.
Where did it all go?
How many do you have now?
To the curb.
Really?
Ouch.
Yeah.
No, not even anyone come on over and get some vinyl, just straight to the...
There was a point when it was just, I'm not going to move these to my new place.
Good.
Did I know you during this point? Or this was before we knew each other, please tell me. Don't tell me this was like last Tuesday.
No, this was sometime in 20 years ago.
You didn't put them in a 55-gallon drum and burn them because, you know, they were Satan's music.
Well, if it was Satan music, I wouldn't have gotten rid of it.
No, Satan showed up and said, "Hey, I want my records back."
I saved 2 crates of records out of all of that.
Satan.
And those got thrown in the garage and melted. No, I got rid of the whole, but I have a reasonable CD collection, but I am not like at a place where I want to sit down and rip all these CDs.
I did. I ripped all mine.
I did too.
I mean, it was like a labor of several months.
Yeah, it took a while.
So what did you do? Just set up a desktop and with a CD reader and put it in?
Just kind of did it whenever I was at the computer. If I was doing something, I tried to have a stack and just kept feeding it.
Yeah.
You know, as it is right now, my new iMac doesn't even have a CD drive.
We can get a little.
It used to be faster to rip CDs, but now it's actually faster to rip off artists. Unfortunately. Download speeds being what
they are. Download a car, would you?
But what I'd like to be able to
can
do
you?
What I'd like to be able to do is have some way of scanning like the barcode on my jewel case or whatever and have that tell some online service that I own this music.
Here's the deal anyway. So I know with Apple iTunes, and I haven't used iTunes in a while, but I know they got busted a couple times for, you know, you rip your CDs, you upload it, or you do whatever, and it actually replaces it with their other versions of it. Have you guys heard about this?
It has happened.
Yes, it happened to me.
Yeah, so that makes a lot of sense. If you're going to digital lock or something, I would like people to say, especially the old stuff I have, like, hey, I own this, I bought this, you know, you guys, you know, EMI is contracted with Apple, I should be able to, you know, take this wherever I want to go, or at least not have to, like, scan it in or rip the
thing.
Well,
that's kind of the idea, and it kind of works that way. Until
but
you
still
get,
have to jump through the hoops,
until you
though.
Get name collisions with, like, you know, if you've got a copy of a song by this artist, but the copy that you have is a rare, you know, bootleg, but you didn't put, like, rare bootleg in the file
name.
Well,
that's what's happening,
and it's like,
yeah.
Oh, this is what that is? There you go. Take this.
Here, I'll get rid of that rare bootleg.
But you still have to play...
You.
Don't you have to play the song into something? Or
yeah, that's what I'm saying. But they're doing that anyway. They're replacing what you upload with other
records.
Right, but
it still keeps the original unless you tell it to replace it with their version. But if you... So your original version is...
This doesn't solve my problem,
but
though.
If you go somewhere else, right, on your phone or on another computer, and you have your library matched, and you go to play it on your one of those matched computers, it'll play the version that they have
play the cloud
in theirs, and it'll play the cloud version, which... And that happened to me. There, it's like one of my Talking Heads albums. It's playing music, and all of a sudden it plays. I don't know if it's like a Beatles song or it's some band I'm not a big fan of, and or it was like Cracker or something. I don't know. It was some band I don't really like that much, and all of a sudden I'm like, I don't own this album. I don't even like this band, and I look and it says it's playing, you know, some Talking Heads song.
Don't.
You just stopped making sense.
What if you just upload all your music to Slack?
What if you just doable. Don't even have music anymore?
Does anybody have like those? No, never mind.
We just make your own music.
Tracks.
Yeah, just make your own music. This is the internet enables you to be a content.
You just sweet it.
Just beatbox for yourself.
This, you know, reel to reel is going to come back.
Music self played is happiness self made.
Did you just make that up?
No, I stole that from They Might Be Giants. It might have been on one of those tracks I downloaded. No, actually, I owned a lot of They Might Be Giants.
DMCA.
Real CDs, yeah.
Yeah, they went downhill once they got rid of the cassette player and had an actual band behind them.
I just wish there was some way that you could, like, you know, just scan your CD.
And just boom.
Yeah, so, yeah, just boom.
Boom, you have music. It.
Yeah, that would be cool, but then everybody would have... barcodes they would give out to everybody.
Yeah, that's
the, I know it there's a flaw in the plan.
I'm going music shopping.
You just get your little scanner, go to the record store, start bloop, bloop.
No, what if they
to,
all right,
you just
what
go
if,
to the barcode auto generator website, and it just like refreshes every
why are you guys
seconds.
Always thinking
okay,
of ways to defraud
no.
this?
What if there was a portable digital method of encoding like a number of tracks onto something, I don't know, maybe circular, and like you could hold it in your hand and like
here.
Hand it out to somebody, and if like you couldn't make an easy copy of it because it's a physical thing, like, so I can maybe we can call it like I don't know, it's kind of compact and disc shaped, I guess, so we could call it like a like a tiny circle music holder. And, you know, I could, like, give that to you, and then you'd have it, and you could play music on it, and then you'd give it back to me, and we could play music together, and it would be great, right?
Only if we could, you know, throw an algorithm on there that makes it artificially degrade every time you copy the data.
Like it plays,
cool.
Like it plays music, like harmonies, you could call it a harmonica.
Ew.
Ooh, there you go.
That was one of the only things that was in Men in Black that seemed like it was obvious and that it would happen, and then it never did, which is when... In the first movie, yeah. Spoiler alert! If you're,
waiting to see
from
that movie.
1997.
Now, okay, I'm a little out of
but
touch.
They had the discs. They had the discs. The deal was the Men in Black supported themselves by selling alien technology, uh-huh. and Tommy Lee Jones takes out this quarter sized compact disc, and says, "Yeah, this is going to be coming out in a couple years." And he said, "Yeah, I'm going to have to buy the White Album again," which was pretty cool, but. That it never happened. They never like boosted the capacity. DVDs, obviously, you look at that, you got Blu-ray holds what 5 gigs per disc, as opposed to the 600 megs that the originals that a CD held. But they never did the whole kind of get smaller and hold
micro
more
SD, micro SD digital
mini
files,
discs.
Yeah,
DAT tapes.
All right, so in the world of streaming music. And I haven't paid enough attention to it lately. But
in
now I'm kind of getting to the point where I want to, are willing to consider subscribing to something.
Winamp.
Whoa.
That's how they get you, man.
They've broken you down.
All right. You are their test case,
man.
What I'm at, though, the question I'm asking is there a service, is it Apple Music or whatever, where you could pay a subscription fee and get access to play any song you want?
Spotify.
Well, what do you mean by any song?
Yeah, generally they're licensed by the big distributor.
That's
right.
What is
well, what I'm
lame.
Talking about is all any of your main. I mean, like a piece of classical music or piece of
no, because the rights are a complete and total mess, and if nothing else, they're segregated by publishers. So
you can get a lot of stuff.
But if you go to I don't know the publishers, but I'm gonna make this up. But like if you go to Spotify, you might be able to listen to everything currently under license by Universal and Sony Music, but not anything that's from some other, I don't know, what's
another
one?
Well, it's a lot. It's
fueled
like,
by ramen.
Yeah.
It's or like Blue Note or Men with Beards, or there's a ton of independent labels too that are coming out that aren't really cutting deals with a lot of listening services. It's a lot like saying like, hey, what one TV streaming service can I sign up for where I can watch every show?
Yeah, that's exactly
anywhere,
right.
And that's not true because you like USA and AMC might stream with these people. This person might say, we're not doing anything with anyone. You've got to sign up with us. You know, then you've got HBO, whatever. So I mean, you know, everyone's doing their own thing. That's what it's like. There's yet to be a unified music digital landscape.
I don't think there will be, honestly. I don't think there ever will be. We're going to get this, unless something is done to totally redo how copyright works.
Well, they were doing a lot of exclusivity deals, too, where XM was saying, like, hey, we're only dropping this on XM. You know, other people are saying, hey, what was some music service came out, and they were only put out some pop stars musical in that one service?
Oh, Tidal.
Yes.
Tidal is Jay-Z's ridiculous, idiotic thing.
So you're going to commoditize music streaming, but everyone's going to want to get ahead, so they're going to have a competitive advantage, and that competitive advantage is going to tear apart being able to listen to everything.
Because physical distribution rights have evolved into electronic distribution rights, and even though physical distribution rights sort of make sense because getting things to various parts of the world is kind of complicated, and there's a long tail of logistics that have to go with that, digital distribution rights by territory are basically stupid, made-up, idiotic barriers that do nothing except enhance middlemen who make billions and billions of dollars in that industry across just by being middlemen. And that's how it is, man.
I know how it is.
And that's the man, closest, man.
So
Carrie Sherman, line one.
The closest thing to what Jay wants is you go to YouTube and you can probably listen to the kind of variety of music that you want. It's just not easy, and you have to search for each individual.
No, it is. Thing. It is easy. Yeah. It is easy. They have YouTube Music now.
And there's another option, my friend.
No, okay, so here, we started to rip our CD collection a while back and then just kind of stopped because...
How far did you get?
Through B?
Maybe less than 100 CDs.
And how long ago? What were you ripping at? What bit rate? Huh? What bit rate?
Well, I remember I was ripping on an old HP laptop from... I probably stopped. I started ripping when I bought my first iPod.
96K.
96K. That's all you need.
It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm not an audiophile by that. But, you know, I want to have.
9.6K.
11 kilohertz.
I want to have access to the music library that we've accumulated. My wife wants to, she still wants just to get another stereo in the house with a CD player. And, like, okay. No. I don't want to do that. I mean, I guess we could do that. But I want to have my collection. I want to have a reasonable music collection to pull from that I can stream to any device or whatever device or a specific device even in the house where I can select songs. And I'm looking for a service that might come close to having what we have in our rather pedestrian library.
You know what? I've got it figured out. You need Groove House Music.
Oh, yeah.
You pay Groove House, and he will rip all your CDs.
You'll just come over and play house music. Hope you like 4/4.
I'm sure there's a service that'll do that.
The Groove House.
How many CDs would I get in a week?
I don't know.
From Groove House Music Club? Well, the first CDs are a penny each, but after that, if you don't return
then
them,
stick you.
You're going to have to change addresses.
See, I'm the middleman, so I skim some off the top before I pay Groove.
I see. So you're finding out a way to make money off of my music.
Of course, she only has her Foreigner CDs left.
I would hand over my entire CD collection to someone who wanted to sit down and do it, but even then, it would still take a long time.
So here's, I'll do it for you. I'll do it for one penny for the first CD, and then for each CD, you just double it, so the next one will be 4 cents, and then the next one will be 8 cents.
And I'll get four CDs done. And
cancel subscription, re-enroll.
Oh, there's no way to cancel.
This is a trick, because if you do the math out, by the time we're up to 70 or 80 CDs, we're making more than the U.S. GDP by rearing
your math
CDs
has
for
no
you.
Place here. Take your geometric growth and go away.
What?
Jay, are you signed up with like Amazon Prime?
I am signed up with Amazon Prime. I need to take a
look. Music thing is free.
Okay.
So as long as you're doing that, and they let you basically download music to your machine.
I don't even care about downloading music to a machine necessarily. I guess I could, but I want to be able to. I want to give my wife a way to interact with music.
You want to give your wife away?
Take my wife,
please.
I want to give my wife a means in which she can.
What'd you say? What'd
Don't
you call
be mean
her?
To her?
Jeez.
I do go to Amazon Prime a lot on the music side just because I've got a few Alexas, so more often than not, if I just want to hear some music, right, I'll say Alexas.
How many Lexuses?
Let's not. Okay. Alexuses, yeah. But I do think that it's going to come down to, like, the I guess Microsoft's going to come out with Xbox and maybe some of the home systems that are trying to time. Like, I know Google's coming out.
Well, my Xbox just updated. I hadn't turned it on in a while, and I turned it on and did an update, and I got Cortana. So I don't know if that's...
Microsoft has a music streaming service. Do they have, like, Zune.com yet?
I don't know.
Because Apple's got some Siri stuff. They're supposedly trying to get into the living room at some point. Google has, I think it's called Google Home, that's coming out
pretty soon.
Can you
tell Cortana to play something from Amazon Prime?
No.
No, because Amazon's got that locked down.
You can tell Alexa.
I
can say, like, hey, Alexa, play Johnny Cash. And what she'll do is she'll look in my own music library first. And if she can't find it there, she'll try to find something from online free. You know,
right.
And she'll actually shell out and say, like, hey, here's this from iHeartRadio, here's this, here's that. Worst case, if it can't find anything else, it'll play a sample. If it's like a revenue piece, like, here's a sample of this, and because you've got to buy it from somewhere, but she'll at least play a little bit of it.
She plays Johnny Cash when
a lot of Johnny Cash. You'd be surprised at what's out there.
You said you have to own it, and I'm just saying, she better play Johnny Cash.
Yeah, she'll play Johnny Cash.
Her, okay.
Yeah, she will. But you know, that's
gonna have to reconsider our friendship otherwise.
But although she does not have full access to everything. Pretty much Google Play is the only place at this point that has most of my digital collection that's legit uploaded in, you know, catalog somewhere.
Well, so Jay, my suggestion is, why don't you just go sign up for Spotify and give it a go? See how it makes you feel. See if it makes you feel warm and fuzzy.
My suggestion would be, you know, install the Amazon.
You already have Amazon
Prime. Yeah, you've already got Prime, don't you?
Yeah, I should check into that.
Look, see what it's got that you like. Because you can make playlists of songs that are on it and across artists and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And it just streams. You know, you don't have to have the song locally. It just, you know, plays through the playlist. You can tell it to shuffle or whatever.
I bet you can listen to a lot of 21 Pilots.
I'm basically fine with streaming, like listening to just a radio style. I don't have a problem with that. That's why I like the XM stereo, whatever. I don't mind having songs presented to me in a basic format that's along the lines of what I like, because having a large library for me was just unwieldy and trying to figure out what I wanted to listen to and kind of. I just stick a CD in my car. I have a 6 CD changer, and the same 6 CDs just stay there.
Yeah. I don't think I've changed mine out in like 5 years.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, wow. I should really just swap this out, but I'm just going to turn it off. You know,
The irritating thing to me, I've got a 2006 car.
That is irritating.
No, the big irritating thing is that it doesn't have any. It does not have an aux in.
Oh,
right. Doesn't have Bluetooth.
Nothing.
It doesn't. It has a 6 CD changer that will read MP3s. So there is that for like trips, but you know, the prep work to basically set up and burn the stupid CDs, and then if they sit in there for a couple of years, they go bad, and so you gotta, you know, take them out and do.
You
new
need
ones.
One of those CD to MP3 adapters.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I wish that cassette. You had that. You could hook that aux thing up to your. But no, it's so.
Well, it's just like that, except for CDs.
This must be why those music swapping parties are so popular.
That's why we can't get away from that 1/8-inch headphone jack. Because stuff like this. Total non sequitur.
So they replace Bluetooth with some other some sort of exclusive to them wireless connection.
Let's not call it Bluetooth. Let's call it like red. Ear.
Let's just call it poor audio.
Ultraviolet. Oh no, that already exists.
Yeah, they already did that.
Call it not in sync between two different on each stereo channel.
Mm. Music. Hate it.
I don't. I don't have enough to run the segment, but I will mention the one science story that is kind of cool. The Philae lander. You know, that they had the problem where they they tried to land it on that asteroid and it bounced off and landed in the shade, and they kind of got signal for a while and then they couldn't find it again. They actually know exactly where it is, and they have photographs of the lander. And the sad part is it's in a shady part underneath a rock. And if it was like 5 feet over, it would be in the sun. But it's not, and so the solar can't get any juice. And
oh, my
so
God. How hard is it for these scientists? They spend all this money. Can't they just land the thing where it's supposed to be on an asteroid millions of miles away from Earth? I mean, come on, man.
You can buy a little hex bug for like $5 that can then find light or scurry away from light. Like, why couldn't they just make it do that?
Why didn't they just put a Raspberry Pi on it?
The alien shot our drone down.
But, yeah, the picture... Apparently what they did is they narrowed down the places they thought it could be. And then there's, you know, it's a two-piece, it was a two-piece experiment where there was the lander that would go down on the asteroid, but there's a separate ship that kind of orbits the asteroid, and it has a high-resolution camera. And they took the likely candidates, plotted where it was supposed to be. And if you look on the like far right hand side of this photograph, you can see the leg of the lander. You know, so it's laying like on its side, and you can see one metal leg of the lander sticking up.
Is the lander even trying?
Yeah. Hey, are you Curiosity and the other one still roaming around on Mars? But this lander can't do one job on a stupid asteroid.
God. What a mess.
No, it's been amazing.
Did they say it was trying to mark its territory?
Pretty serious.
It's just marking its territory.
It's just sleeping.
It's got one leg up.
It was supposed to, like, harpoon itself to the asteroid, and apparently that didn't work. And so it bounced off it and then landed back on it again.
Although I will say, in that picture, like, where you're looking at it, like, that's a huge rock field. Like, I don't see any way, even if it harpooned, that it would pull itself in and land upright. It would still, like, hit rocks and fall over or something.
Well, it's a good distance. I don't remember what the distance is, but it's a ways away from where it was supposed to land. So it hit and, like, bounced off, and then it was just luck that it landed back on the asteroid, because the asteroid's not big enough to have that much gravity. But so they do know where it is, at least. I mean, now as it'll go, I guess, you know, at some point when that asteroid goes out of, you know, any kind of range, we'll know where it is on the asteroid when it comes back, when human civilization is long since passed or whatever, and they'll discover it themselves. Hey, what's that in this picture?
All right. Well, that music is telling us that we should probably get ready to get the heck out of here. So we're going to go ahead and get ready to get the heck out of here. And my brain hurts because music and IRC and stuff.
Subjectivity and... Show.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, thanks for tuning in to another exciting episode of Technology Bites. We'll be back next week for more exciting Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Link.
And he's...
Groovehouse.
Cuckoo.
Greetings, KPFT listeners. My name is Alma Vizcarra. As local election supervisor, it is my pleasure to introduce to you a local station board listener delegate candidate.
I am Benicia Williams, a listener candidate for the board of directors of KPFT Radio. I am very humbled and excited to once again join the Pacifica Foundation, where I once served as an executive producer at KPFA in Berkeley, California. Serving the community has been the foundation of my broadcasting career, as I was trained, worked, and won many awards as a broadcast journalist based in San Francisco, California. I look forward to bringing my network and contacts to my hometown of Houston, Texas. Service to all mankind is the motto I live by. Once again, this is Venicia Williams, a listener candidate for the Board of Directors.
You can help KPFT by donating your unwanted vehicle. When you make a donation, your vehicle is resold at an auto auction and the proceeds help to support KPFT. KPFT accepts cars, trucks, motorcycles, and recreational vehicles. Your donation qualifies as a charitable deduction on your federal income tax return because KPFT is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Just call 855-KPFT-CAR to make your donation. Please be ready to share the title, location, and general condition of your car. This information assists the tow company in scheduling appropriate towing arrangements. Again, the number is 855-KPFT-CAR to make your donation. Thanks. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston. To make your donation. Thanks. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.